Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
I don't know about you, but I'm ready for this year to be over. I'm ready for a new beginning. Are you guys ready for a new beginning? Yeah. So tonight's message is going to be a transitional message. In Vegas, where I'm the lead pastor, so if you're new to our church or if you're new watching online, I'm not Ron Vietti, all right? I'm Jim Cruz. I lead our Las Vegas campus, and so every once in a while on Wednesdays, I get to be with you guys, like tonight, and I'm so glad you guys that are watching online tuned in. Love to have you guys, and we always love to hear where you're watching us from, and send us an email, let us know that. But we've been doing this series in Vegas, ramping up to Christmas, called Stranger King, looking at the strangeness of the Christmas story. And it's a parody off of that Netflix series that came out over the summer called Stranger Things. I talked about it last Wednesday. How many of you went home and watched the series this week? Did anybody? Okay. All right. One. You got, thank you. All right. I don't know why I'm thanking you for watching. I didn't make it, but it was really good. I'm an 80s kid, and it was based in 1983, so, you know, I had a flashback of riding my BMX bike, you know, watching that series. But I thought it was a good setup for Christmas, because the Christmas story is so strange. And you think about even like what we did over the week here, some of the strange traditions that we do, and we bake for each other. I've eaten more cookies and more breads and more fruitcake. Well, I didn't eat the fruitcake, but I've eaten a lot of things over this week. And for some reason, Christmas means you must eat a lot of sweets. That's what it means. And I saw this meme, and I thought it was really funny. I don't know if you guys can relate to it. Do you know what I got for Christmas? Fat. I got fat. That's what I got for Christmas. And so I can relate to that cat. But as we look at tonight's Bible study, we're going to be looking at a particular aspect of the Christmas story that may have like ducked under the radar. And this is more, tonight is not just a Christmas story. Tonight is really about the purpose of why Jesus came. And so it's much more than the Christmas story. This is about how God is expecting us to live here on earth, which as we go into the new year is a great message to talk about, because some of us, we know we desperately need to hit the reset button on our life. And as we switch years, as we go from December 31st to January 1st, it's like a big reset button. It's like, regardless of how you've been living up to this point, you have an opportunity to change the way you're living. And so tonight, I hope that this message really inspires you to move toward what God really has in store for your life. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for new beginnings and for new years and for new starts. And Lord, tonight I pray that this message could be used as a fresh new start for a lot of lives, God, whether they're here in this building or whether they're tuning in online. I pray, God, that you would use this message to ignite us to become the sons and daughters that you have called us to be for your kingdom. And we thank you in advance for how you're going to do that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Now, last week, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be all over the place. I encourage you tonight to take notes, because I am going to be throwing a lot of verses at you. And I want you to write them down, because we're going to be going so quickly, you may forget some of the verses we cover. And I highly recommend you going home this week and looking over some of these scriptures, because it's not just about why Jesus came and this big idea of Christmas. This is about your life. And the more you can get these scriptures down, the more your life is going to be transformed. And so I highly encourage you to write these scriptures down. We're going to move through them really quickly, but let me just kind of pick up where we left off last Wednesday. We were talking about the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, and we talked about how just it was a very colorful ancestry.com for Jesus, and there were some characters in there that just kind of, you know, are odd that they would be in the lineage of the Messiah, but they are. But the point of Matthew chapter 1, I believe, is also to show us that Jesus had the right to the throne of David. Now, some people argue that the book of Luke gives a genealogy of Jesus, and it's different than the genealogy of Jesus in the book of Matthew. And most Bible scholars believe the genealogy that the Gospel of Luke gives is the genealogy of Mary, because it's talking about Mary in the Gospel of Luke a lot. And the Gospel of Matthew is talking about Joseph and the lineage of Joseph. And so it's interesting to note that Bible scholars believe the lineage of Joseph shows us the birthright of Jesus, and the lineage of Jesus through Mary shows us the bloodline of Jesus as the Messiah. So both of those things point to the fact that Jesus was in fact the coming Messiah. Now, Joseph and the lineage of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew is important, because what we see there is Matthew is writing to the Jews. He's trying to get the Jews to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, and he's the way, the king that they had been waiting for. And in Matthew chapter 2, we'll have them put that up on the screen. In Matthew chapter 2, it talks about this through the Magi that come and look for Jesus. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying this, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. So in this prophetic thing that these Magi were given, they understood that prophecy to say this Messiah is the new King of the Jews. So Matthew is establishing that Jesus is the Messiah, and he is the long-waited for king. He's the king. He's the king that God promised would be coming, and he would reconcile man to God and God to man once and for all. The prophet Zechariah in the Old Testament, just write this scripture down. This is a really cool, this one I believe was mentioned on the opening introduction video. But Zechariah 9 verse 9 says, rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. Now, if you're familiar with the Gospels, you're familiar with the story of what happens to Jesus a week before he was crucified. He had a triumphal entry into Jerusalem where the people were putting palm branches down, and he rode in to Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And so he was weeping at that point, saying, Jerusalem, if you had known what the significance of this day is. And some people believe it is because a prophecy that was given in Daniel to give the exact time that Jesus would ride triumphantly into Jerusalem. But I also believe this is a fulfillment of Zechariah 9, verse 9, that their king had come to them, but they missed him. They missed the king. It's like this is the king they've been waiting for, and they didn't even recognize him. And we're going to get to that in a minute. Isaiah 7, verse 14 says, all right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, this is important because what we're talking about tonight is more than the Christmas story. This is like theology 101 when it comes to the gospel. That God came to us to be with us. God with us. That is Emmanuel. That is the name of Jesus. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And we read about this in John, the book of John chapter 1. See, the book of John doesn't tell us about the birth of Jesus. It kind of more talks about the purpose of Jesus. And it really highlights the fact of what Jesus is intending to do. And so guys in the back there, go to John chapter 1, and I want to read 10 and 11 and then skip to 14. So it's, for some reason, it didn't print on the notes. Go to verse 10 and 11 and then skip to verse 14, and then we'll come back to John 1:1. It says, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. Interesting. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. So the king came just as God promised he would come, and they didn't recognize him. As a matter of fact, they rejected him. Jump down to verse 14, and it says, so the word, speaking about Jesus, became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So John 1 mentions the Word, and the Word is Jesus. And that's why when we read John chapter 1, verse 1, it can be kind of confusing if you don't understand what the Word is, and the Word is Jesus. And it says in John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus and God are one of the same. And then Jesus, being the Son of God, is sent to this world to cross over from heaven to earth so that we on earth could get back to heaven. It was a great crossover mission. Think about it. Christmas is about God crossing over from his realm to our realm so that we can be welcomed back to his realm. See, our sin, the Bible says, cuts us off from that realm. Our sin divides us away from God. So we've been cut off from God, and that was evident in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. The angels had to come and literally kick them out of the Garden of Eden. They couldn't get back into the garden. And ever since then, mankind has been separated from God. And there has been this longing that we have to be connected to God. And some of you feel that longing in the form of just, you feel like life is incomplete, like life hasn't satisfied you. It just seems like something is missing, something is gnawing at you, something is just screaming inside of you. You're not right, things are not right. Even though maybe circumstantially everything seems right, your family's good, your job's good, your money's good, but it is that gnawing feeling inside you that you are not right with God. And so what Jesus does for us is he comes to this earth and he lives this life and he dies for us so that we could be welcomed back to God. So you might say, Jesus came from heaven to earth so that we could go from earth to heaven. I call that the great crossover. And Jesus and the message of Christmas began that great mission of him crossing over to bring heaven to earth so that he might bring us to heaven. Now, it's going to get very theological, okay? So tonight we're going to think, this is more theology than it is a practicality, okay? But just hold on, because we're going to bring this to a close here and it is going to apply to your life. So don't tune me out and say, he's talking about all this scholarly theology stuff. No, you need to know this. This is important for your faith. This is important for your knowledge, okay, when it comes to your relationship with God. But I want to take you to a scripture in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2. It says, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. We're going to come back to that in one of our PowerPoints tonight. But it says, and only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. In other words, the only way he could come against our sin and completely obliterate it from our life is he had to be exactly like us. That's the only way it could happen. And this is why Jesus had to be born as a human being. That's why he had to come and he had to have flesh and blood. This is the only way he could make this restitution back for the sin that we had committed as mankind. The only way he could make it right is he had to be just like us. Isn't it great that we serve a God that's not far away? We serve a God that can relate to us, that knows how we suffer because he suffered probably worse than any of us have already suffered. So he's not a faraway God that doesn't have empathy for your suffering. He's a God that has suffered for you. He knows your suffering. He has felt it himself. He gets it. And I think that's important for us to understand as we start thinking about what it means to have a relationship with God. So Jesus had to come in a human form in order to have our sin canceled out. It's the only way it could happen. He had to be flesh and blood just like we're flesh and blood. Now, it goes on in Philippians chapter 2. Write this down, Philippians 2, 5. And Paul's talking to the Philippian church about saying, you know, you got to have a, yeah, you have to have an attitude like Jesus. See, can I give you a word tonight? You can't determine your circumstances, but you can determine the attitude you have while you go through your circumstances. Attitude is completely 100% up to you. Did you know that? Your circumstances aren't, but your attitude is. And it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. I like that. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Okay, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. In other words, because Jesus was obedient, God says, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord because of the obedience of Jesus, the Son of God. And so the attitude here that Paul is saying we need to have as followers of Jesus is that God wasn't so arrogant and prideful that he couldn't stoop down and cross over from his dominion of heaven to this broken dominion called earth and make things right again on our behalf. He did this not for himself. He didn't need that for himself. He came down, he crossed over for us so that we could enjoy him again. That's why he did it, 100% for you and 100% for me. Now, John 18 ties the book of John, I believe, with the book of Matthew in chapter 1. So we've heard about Jesus being the king, and we've heard about Jesus being coming in the flesh, right? And this is, he's talking to Pontius Pilate, and he's been arrested. He's about ready to be crucified. So he's having this conversation with Pontius Pilate. He said, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into this world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So Jesus says, I did come as a king, but my kingdom is not of this realm. My kingdom is the heavenly kingdom, and I'm here to bring the heavenly kingdom down here on earth so that people could be put back in their rightful position of rulership. You see, when God put mankind on this earth, he put mankind on this earth to rule in life. He gave dominion of this earth to Adam and Eve, and they squandered it. They gave it away. And ever since then, we've been fighting for that rulership again. And Jesus says, for the record, I'm coming back to give humanity their rulership that they lost, that they gave up. And I've come here to give it back to them again so they can rule in life the way God has always intended them to rule in life. That we're going somewhere with that, so hold on to that. It's exciting, but wait, it's going to get a lot more exciting here. That's just a little taste of it. So Jesus is setting the record straight with Pilate, saying, I am a king. You answered correctly. I'm a king. You got it. But the way I'm coming as a king is to restore the people of the kingdom to their rightful rulership. So why did Jesus come to earth? I'm going to give you five real quick. These are the PowerPoints tonight. Write these down. Number one, he came to reveal God to man. Jesus came to show us a picture of who God is. And you've heard me preaching before, and you know that this is one of those things I love to preach about, because I believe we can get so ruined in our relationships with God if we have an incorrect view of who God is. I think your view of who God is so important. It's the foundation of everything that you believe in. And so if your view of God is distorted, everything that you're doing for God and everything that you believe about God is going to be distorted. The foundational truth of who you think God is important to every aspect of your faith. That's why it's so important. And Jesus came to set the record straight what God was really like. Let me give you a couple scriptures again. Write these down. This is important because you got all kinds of people out there that claim to have relationships with God, and their view of God is so distorted, it looks nothing like the God found in Jesus. And so your litmus test, your proof of whether or not somebody is right on or not is how much does their God look like Jesus. If he doesn't look like Jesus, then their God needs to be rejected as heresy. Okay, let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And he is the radiance, speaking of Jesus, of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. So the nature of God, the book of Hebrews is declaring to us that as you watch the nature of Jesus, that's the nature of God. So what was the nature of Jesus? The nature of Jesus was so compassionate on hurting people. So if your image and view of God, that God is just can't wait to strike you with a lightning bolt and strike you with cancer and kill you, then I'm telling you, your view of God is very much distorted, because that doesn't look like the God revealed in Jesus, does it? The way Jesus lived. Jesus did say, hey, if you don't have a bad life, you're going to reap consequences. He did say that, but there was a compassion and there was a love and there was a forgiveness about the life of Jesus that we need to embrace and we need to absorb, because that is what our God is like. He's about compassion, love, and forgiveness. And every other thing that you have convinced yourself that God is like that doesn't look like that, it needs to be rejected. Can you receive that tonight? And some of you grew up in very strict religious homes, and you know, it's messed up how you view a lot of things. And I'm telling you, make it simple. How does your view of God line up with Jesus? Let me give you another scripture. Colossians 1 verse 15. He is, speaking about Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So when somebody challenges you and say, how can you worship a God that you can't even see? And you say, well, you're incorrect that I cannot see my God, because I can't see my God. He came to this earth. There's archaeology, there's history, there's all kinds of papers to back up that this man Jesus came to this earth and he was crucified and he was reported to be risen from the dead. I know some people, some scholars, some from academia that went out there to try to prove that Jesus was some legend that people made up. And three of these scholars that I know about that set a mission for themselves to prove or disprove Christianity all came back and became believers in Jesus. And one of them was here this summer. His name is Josh McDowell. And it blew him away. I mean, he went to Israel. He visited all these ancient sites and went to all these places. And he says, man, I went out trying to disprove Christianity and I came back believing not only in Christianity, I came back believing in Jesus and I need to give my life to him. And he became a Christian and a great author. You should pick up his books. If you know anybody that's skeptical about Christianity, his books are a great read, especially that book, More Than a Carpenter. It's a really good read. But your God is not invisible. He's showed up and he's made himself visible. He's made himself known so that you don't have to worship, as some of these guys say, some spaghetti monster in the sky. They want to say our God is some spaghetti monster in the sky. I'm like, no, you are way, way, way off. Maybe Jesus likes spaghetti, but I'm telling you that he's not a spaghetti monster in the sky. We know him very well because he walked among us. He was with us and he was crucified for us. We know our God. He's not invisible. So he came to reveal God to man. That's the first PowerPoint. Secondly, the purpose was that he came to reveal what he wants man to look like. So you might say that Jesus came not only to show us what God looks like, but that God sent Jesus to show us what he desires us to look like. It's like, see my son? He's like the prototype. I want you to look like him. As you live your life and as you love people and as you go about your life, I want you to look like he looks. Let me give you a scripture there, and I gave you this one before, but Romans 8:29 again. It says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, so that Jesus would be the prototype of many others that would follow him afterwards. Now, I'm not saying that any of us look perfectly like Jesus, but I'm saying that if you are maturing in your relationship with Jesus, that means you're looking more like Jesus this year than you did a year ago, or maybe even 5 years ago or 10 years ago. See, you should be seeing defining moments in your life where you are seeing Jesus, yourself acting and becoming more like Jesus in how you're thinking and how you're treating people and maybe even how you're worshiping God. You should see evidence popping out in defining moments for you saying, oh, you know what? I'm not there perfectly yet, but man, I have come a long way in the last year. I've come a long way in the last 5 years. I've come a long way in the last 10 years. I look a lot more like Jesus than I used to, but I'm still not there yet. That's the idea. He wants us to see him as the goal. This is what he wants our life to look like. Number three, he came to redeem man. Now, this is big for us to understand that because we are contaminated with sin, Jesus had to come in the flesh and be just like us in order to pay for our sin. And for our sin to payment to count. He had to be just like us in every way, shape, and form. I like this, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the name Jesus itself means Savior. He's saving us from our sins. Now, let me give you the Galatians 4. This is what you need to really understand. You need to comprehend this passage. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. That's why he had to be born in the way he was, through Mary, through the womb, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now that word Abba in the Greek is what we would use in our culture to say daddy. It's a term of endearment. It's not like, Father, may I come home now? It's like, Daddy! You know, it gives this idea of intimacy and this closeness. It's daddy. And so what Paul's saying here to the Galatians, he's saying, hey, look, you guys were far away from God. Matter of fact, your sin was keeping you from having this relationship with God. But Jesus came to redeem you so that as you were kind of estranged away from the family, Jesus, because of what he did, he brought you back into the family so that you could be adopted as sons and daughters of God, so that you could be a part of the family of God. He's saying, You're family now. You're part of the family. You're not a stranger. You're not far away. So he came to redeem you so that you could be adopted into the family of God. And when you accept Jesus, when you accept what he's done for you, that's exactly what takes place in your life. You become a part of the family of God. Somebody in Vegas said, you know, VBF, I know what you guys say it stands for, Valley Bible Fellowship, but I think VBF stands for Very Big Family. I go, I like that. I like that. I'm going to remember that one. And I think it's true. He came to redeem man. And then number four, and this is, some of you, this, we're going somewhere, okay? I got a couple minutes. Number four is he came to restrain Satan. Satan is the adversary of this world, also known as the devil. And he's here to wreak havoc against your life, to see that you get destroyed, to see that you get cut off from God, and to see that none of the promises of God come true for your life. That's his mission against your life. And believe me, he's standing against you. He's opposing your life. Some of you, you barely made it to church tonight because he was opposing you even coming here, because every time you come here, you're getting close to God and he despises that. Because every time you get close to God, then he's in trouble, because he's going to get revealed. And the more powerful you're going to become, and the more authority you're going to have over him, and the less damage he's going to be able to inflict on your life and in your family's life. So he gets scared when you come to church. He gets scared when you open your Bible and get into your devotions. He gets freaked out when he sees you praying with another human being. He doesn't like that stuff. So he's here to oppose you in any effort that you have to get close to God. You need to know that. But Jesus came to break the power of the devil against your life. So anything that he's opposing is just by words. He doesn't have the power to keep you restrained anymore. Those chains have been broken off of you. So he can just threaten you like a cyber bully, all right? So let's look at that again. Hebrews 2:14, it says that through the death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. So Jesus' death broke the power of the devil. And then 1 John 3, verse 8, it says, the devil has been sinning since the beginning, so anyone who continues to sin belongs to the devil. That's a sermon in itself, all right? Not that when you become a Christian, you become perfect. But there should not be any longer habitual sins that you're not convicted over that you're doing. You might be sinning, but there's a conviction in your heart like, I hate this, I want out, please set me free, I don't want to do this anymore. That's different. Somebody who's practicing sin says, hey, I have Jesus, I have my get out of hell pass card free, so I'm just going to go smoke it up, toke it up, I'm just going to drink it up, I'm going to just go sleep it up, I'm going to do everything. Why? Because at the end of the day, I got my black Jesus card, right? He paid for all my sins. No, that's the error. So John's saying that's not good, all right? So if you're continuing to practice sin, there's no conviction, there's no pushback inside of you to get away from that sin, then it says you belong to the devil. You don't belong to God. If you belong to God, everything inside of you is wanting to get away from that stuff. It might be a struggle, but there's something inside of you wanting to get away with that, or get away from that, not away with that. That's the devil, okay? The Son of God came for this purpose, to destroy the devil's work. Don't you love reading that? Can I just read that again? That's some good stuff right here. The Son of God came for this purpose, to destroy the devil's work. He came to destroy the devil's work against your life. That's why he came. And you say, Pastor, then why does it feel like he's winning? Because you're letting him win. You're letting him win. Which I need to go to the next point, because this is where we're wrapping everything up in a nice little bow. Number five. And this is what I want you to leave here tonight with. This is so important, the fifth PowerPoint. He came to return our rulership. He came to return our rulership. There was a time in our history as humanity that we actually were able to hang out with God I know it blows my mind to think about this. Like, you know, just God is just walking with man and just hanging out with him. And I've had prayer times where I felt like, you know, God was right there in my midst too. I felt that. But this is totally different. I mean, God was in their midst. Crazy. There was no sin that would oppose God's presence being with them. But that got broken. But if you think about how God set it up, he said, I'm gonna rule with you, but I've created the earth so that you could rule it. Like God in his love, he says, I love man. I'm creating them in my image so they look like I look. And I'm creating them and I'm giving them this planet. And I'm wanting them just like a dad would take his little kids to a playground and just love watching his kids have fun. You parents, you get that, right? You've probably taken your kids somewhere and you just sat there and you watched, you observed your kids having fun. Like God's saying, I created the earth and I created my kids here. Go have fun. I've given you dominion. I've given you rulership. Now go and rule, have fun with what I created. And it got taken from him. And everything went to hell once that got taken from him, literally. But check this scripture out. This is a verse that some of you need to memorize. Because even though Jesus has returned our rulership, some of you are acting like he hasn't. And instead of you ruling life, life is ruling you. As a follower of Jesus, that shouldn't be happening. Check this verse out in Romans 5. It says, it is true that through the sin of one man, death began to rule because of that one man. But how much greater is the result of what was done by the one man, Jesus Christ? All who receive God's abundant grace and are freely put right with him will, let's say this together on three. One, two, three. Rule in life through Christ. So one man messed it all up, but one man put it all back together. Why? So that life wouldn't rule us anymore, that we would return to our rightful rulership and we would begin ruling in life once again. I need a man volunteer and a woman volunteer. Get up here with me. One of each. One man. You don't have to be married. You don't have to be married. Thank you. Okay, right on, bro, all right. Okay, you stand right here, you stand right here. It's gonna be good. You know it's gonna be good when the pastor brings props, all right, okay. All right, so what I want you guys to do, and I don't have a handheld, so you tell them your name.
Eric.
Tell them how long you've been coming here.
About 5 years.
Okay, that's Eric, been 5 years.
Tanya, and so like say 19, 20?
19 or 20 years?
Her.
Okay.
No,
yeah, yeah.
Well, 19 is age. 19
since 19. Age. Yeah. You've been here a long time.
Yeah, long time.
Okay. Okay, so both of you made decisions to follow Jesus, right? So, Eric, there you go. Tanya, there you go. I want you to, put it on there. You can. It's got Velcro, so put it on your head, okay? All right, there you go. All right, you got it?
Yeah.
And you're not going to take your Raiders hat off, are you? No, that's not Raiders.
Dolphins.
What, you got a Dolphins hat on, bro? You know you're in California?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right, so I'm going to give you the sword. I'm going to give you the scepter. Now, so these are good props. See, what Eric has here, he's got the crown. He's got the sword. This represents authority that says, hey, you know, I'm in charge. I've got this. That's what the crown and that's what the sword, the king's sword. It's they're symbols of authority. They're symbols to say, I'm ruler. Okay? So basically what Jesus did is he's placed the crown and the sword back in our hands and back on our head to say, all right, Eric, life, go rule it, man. I've anointed you, I've equipped you. Go for it, all right? And now what he's done here for Tanya is he's given her the crown, he's given her the scepter, and says, hey, you're my daughter, and I have anointed you to rule again. Like, life isn't going to beat you up. You're going to beat life up, not because you have the goods, but because the goods are living inside of you. And so now you've got a daughter of God, you got a son of God, and now they have been equipped to rule life. So this is what frustrates me as a pastor. We've been given this, right? We've been given the mantle, we've been given our crowns, and Jesus says, okay, I've did it all. But I see this happen more and more and more. Followers of Jesus, they can't say no to sex. They can't say no to drugs. They can't say no to crimes. They can't say no to addictions. And instead of them coming to this place of ruling life, they've come to a place where life is ruling them. And I'm going, it's not supposed to be that way. We've got our crowns, we got our swords, we got our crowns, we got our scepters. Now go and rule life and stop letting life rule you. Amen. I'll let you guys keep the props. Give it up for my volunteers tonight. Listen to what Jesus said. Now this is important. It says, rule in life through Christ. That's the key. And I think that's probably why people aren't ruling in life, is they forgot those two words at the end. They're like, I got this. I'm going to rule in life. I'm going to tell people what's up. That's what guys do in Bakersfield. You pull up to a red light. Oh, what's up, dog? What's up with you guys in Bakersfield, man? Everyone wants to beat people up. I don't know, but it's not like that in Vegas. I don't think it's like that anywhere else besides this town. But I'm thinking of this idea of Jesus. And when he was ready to ascend into heaven in Matthew 28, we call it the Great Commission in the Bible. And in the Great Commission, he says this before he like commissions them to go out. This is what he says to them in Matthew 28, verse 18. I don't know if you guys have that scripture. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority. How much authority? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, the reason he starts off his commission by talking about the authority that has been given to him was because he knew he's going to be living inside of them. And that if they began to doubt their abilities, if they begin questioning their, credentials. Who am I, God, that I'm supposed to go and talk to that guy? Who am I, God, that I'm supposed to pray for that guy to be healed? Who am I, God, that I can even lead my family and let them be godly? Jesus says, no, you got to know something. It's not about you. It's not about your abilities. It's not about your credentials. It's about the authority, not in you, but the authority in me, and I am in you. And so all the authority that you need is in you because it's in me. And if you are in me, then that authority is in you. Amen. The reason we're not walking as rulers in life is because we are forsaking the authority that Jesus Christ has given us. And he's given all of it to us. And he made sure he doubled down on us and said, hey, not only am I going to just let you be forgiven, my grace is more than about forgiveness. My grace is about empowerment, baby. My grace is about coming inside of you. And when you can't change yourself, my power inside of you is going to change you. My power is inside of you is going to do things that you couldn't do for yourself. That's the grace. It's not just forgiveness, it's empowerment. And we're all about the forgiveness, but we've forgotten the empowerment. And the empowerment isn't about how great we are, how strong we are. The empowerment is all about Jesus. And the more you are in Jesus, the more of that authority you will begin living with. And the more authority you will begin living with, life will stop ruling over you, and you will start ruling over it. Can you receive that tonight? I do these every once in a while. I call them tweetable moments. These are moments that I really want to highlight to make sure you're listening. And so if you have social media, you can blast it on social media. But here it is. Jesus came so that we can rule in life instead of being ruled by life. Now, maybe you didn't need to hear this tonight, but perhaps somebody that's not here tonight needs to hear that. Maybe they're not here because the devil's just having fun with them. He's got them running in circles, chasing their tail, and they're going nowhere, losing their wife, losing their husband, losing their kids. And you're watching. You got like front row seats to this disaster. Meanwhile, God is equipping you tonight with this message. So not only will you know about your rulership, but you will know about your friend's rulership, your brothers and sisters in Christ's rulership, and so that you can encourage them to say, it's time that you stop letting life rule you and you take the crown that Jesus has given you and you start ruling it, because that is what God has done for your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your word, for Christmas, for New Year's. God, that we're here tonight not just to learn about a baby that came to this world, but God, that flesh and blood that came here to cancel out the penalty of the sin against our lives. So that by receiving that forgiveness, we could receive our crowns of rulership back. And we can begin ruling in life the way you have always desired for us to live, ever since you created this world back in the day. As your sons and your daughters, you want us just to have fun with you. So God, I pray that some people here tonight would leave the mess behind and they would go and they would collect their crown, their scepter, their sword and say, you know what? I know I haven't been living with the authority that Jesus died to give me. And tonight I'm making a 180 with my life and I'm gonna begin living with that authority that I know I have. And some of you, it may just be going back and making some bad decisions right. Maybe it's a relationship that you need to call off. Perhaps it's some stuff that you need to go home and throw away and clean house. Perhaps it's somebody that you need to call and say, you know what, I forgive you. This bitterness is making me dark. It's hurting me. You see, the message of Jesus coming to this earth and crossing over is that he crossed over so that you could cross over in your life. From death to life, from darkness to light. He came to take you from shame to forgiveness, from defeat to victory, to take all of this doubt and replace it with faith. He crossed over so that you could cross over in your mindset to achieve the promises of God for your life. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you've never surrendered him and said, Jesus, I want you to come live inside of me. I want to receive your grace tonight. Not just your forgiveness, but the empowerment to walk in that authority and to rule in life the way I'm supposed to, the way you designed me to.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our